The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
We're in a series right now called The Holy Spirit is Not a Bird. And the idea in this series is we're trying to deal with some of the misconceptions about the Holy Spirit and who He is and what He does. In fact, that's what today is really about, is what does He do? What does the Holy Spirit do? And last week, I did my very, very best to offend every one of you. I was picking on the various, you know, thoughts that we get because of how we might have been raised, what faith background we came up in or didn't come up in. My favorite moment, we were going through, you know, if you're Baptist, if you're this, if you're that, and I'm like, how many of you are just straight up sinners? And that was like the biggest portion of you, and you cheered. It was awesome. That was my favorite moment. But depending on, you know, how you were raised, we all, every one of us, we have our own set of baggage that we bring in to this discussion. And so during this series, what I'm trying to do is let's get rid of all of that, and let's just see what God's Word has to say about the Holy Spirit. So I have a couple of memes that I want to share with you today as it relates to the Holy Spirit. So growing up in a church youth group, when I got to the age where I started being interested in girls, the youth pastor would say this to me. They would say, "Now, Jason, be sure to leave room for the Holy Spirit. Leave room for the Holy Spirit." And so I have a diagram. This is for all of the teenagers, especially because here's what you need to know, young people, is the Holy Spirit is very healthy. He's not skinny. He is very, very jolly Saint Nicholas. So you need a big space for the Holy Spirit, especially if your name is Mercy. You need like double the space if your name is Mercy. So leave room for the Holy Spirit. And then I got another one. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but every once in a while, you know, there's a bunch of gifts of the Spirit, right? We're going to talk about it today, gifts of, you know, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, all these. Well, there's a gift, it's not talked about very often, but I have it, and it's called the gift of slap someone. And every once in a while, you just need this gift, and so this is when the Holy Spirit, you know, just says, "No, you can't slap that person," all right? And then this one, so you know, I joke that I call Lisa my second Holy Spirit, and this is why, because the Holy Spirit has my back from time to time, sometimes in the form of Lisa kicking me under the table or putting her hand over my mouth, right? And then I really like this one because I grew up with ADHD. If your Holy Ghost just makes you run and dance, but it doesn't help you live holy, then it's not the Holy Ghost. It's just ADHD. And I can relate to that one. So I read a joke this week. I'll share it with you. So God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are having a conversation, and they're trying to decide where to go on vacation. And God the Father says, "Well, maybe we should go to Florida. I hear it's nice down in Florida." Jesus says, "No, it's too hot down there. Way too many old people. We need to go somewhere else." And God says, "Well, how about this? What if we go to the Vatican? That would be a fun place to go. Beautiful architecture, and we'll go there." And the Holy Spirit pipes up and he goes, "Yeah, let's go to the Vatican. I've never been there before." So if you grew up Catholic, I love you. I really do. I'm just doing my best, all right? So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit today and what he does in our lives. The Monday after Easter, the girls were out of school, and we had a day to do something as a family. And so I had been reading about this. You might be aware of this if you're from Albuquerque. In 1955, there was a TWA flight 260 took off from the airport here in Albuquerque, headed to Santa Fe, but it didn't make it. It crashed in the Sandia Mountains. And I had been reading that they had actually left on purpose some of the wreckage up in the mountains, and you can hike up there and see it. And I thought that'd be a fun thing to do. And if you don't know, I tend to underestimate, you know, what tasks are going to take, how long it's going to take. And I'm like, oh, it's just a hike up the Sandias, and surely me and my kids can do that. And so we took off up the mountain, you know, with a backpack with granola bars and bottles of water. And we got about 2 miles in, and we just kind of came upon this little rock house that people had built, and they had branches over it to make a little roof. And my girls loved it, so we ducked inside. We had a little snack there. And as we're eating our snack, I could realize that Lisa was done, and Mercy was done, and Eden was done. They had two miles. And so they were like, Dad, let's just work on the house. Let's build a fire pit. Let's get some more branches. Like, they're done. They didn't care about the wreck. They just wanted to play house. And so I convinced Ava. She's like, she's my adventure. She'll do anything with me. So I'm like, Ava, let's keep going. We came to see the plane wreck. Let's go, right? And I honestly didn't think it was much further. And that was my mistake. And so we left the girl. We left them. And me and Ava took off up the mountain. And we're climbing and climbing and climbing. And it's getting steeper. And it's further than I thought. And we're like, where is this plane at? You know, I mean, how hard can it be to find an airplane up here? You know, we're talking about it. And then we're talking about how cool it's going to be. I'm like, Ava, you're probably the only fourth grader in your class that's ever even done this. Like, you're that awesome, you know? And I'm just pumping her up, you know, and we're going. But we're not finding it. We're just finding rocks and trees and everything but the airplane, right? And we got to a point where Ava, she just turns around. She goes, Dad, maybe we should just go back. And I'm like, no, we can't go back. Like, we don't give up. Come on, Ava. And she's like, all right, let's go a little further. So we went a little further. And again, she literally sat down on a rock. And she's like, Dad, I really think that we should just go back. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, Ava, we got to be close. We have to be close. And at that moment, I'm like looking, she's sitting there and I'm looking past her. And about 3 feet from us, I see a tire. I mean, it's just like, it was just there. Like, we were right at the point. We were ready to give up and turn around. And I see a tire. Ava, there's a tire. And she's like, is that an airplane tire? I'm like, it's gotta be. I don't know, you know? And we're looking. And then she looks ahead. She goes, Dad, there's some metal. Look. And all of a sudden we realized that right at the moment when we were ready to give up, we were right there. It was so close. And I really felt as I was preparing for today's message that some of you are just that close. I mean, you've been on this journey discovering who the Holy Spirit is, what He does in our lives, what He has to offer us, and you've come so far. You've put the baggage aside, and you've been willing to come. But I think I just feel like some of you are just so close. You're like Ava and I were, where it's like, but I don't know if I want to take another step. And the Holy Spirit today, if you will, just feel the little bit of the nudge through your pastor saying, don't give up. Continue to ask the Holy Spirit to participate in your life and see what He has in store for you. In fact, what I want to do before we pray, before we go into this, I want us to pray. We do this most weeks. I ask you, just we take like 30 seconds. And the point of this prayer is I'm asking you to position your heart to hear from the Holy Spirit for what you need today in your life. And I honestly believe this makes such a difference, because, you know, we all come in, and I don't know what your morning was like, but I can only imagine. And this is the moment where we just kind of focus and we say, God, all right, Holy Spirit, do what you want. Speak to me today in my life. And so I'm just going to ask, will you join me in that? Just pray your own prayer. Father, we ask right now, we're positioning our hearts to hear from you today. Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in our lives today. Help us today. Help those especially that are just really close to just stepping into all that you have for us today. May we not turn around and give up and fall short of that today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. So today we're talking about what the Holy Spirit does. And I realized that as I started to tackle this topic, that there's actually a lot that the Holy Spirit does. And it was going to be really hard to capture in just a single message. On Thursday night in our life group, I asked our group, I said, so go around and share with us, give us your name and tell us the aspect of the Holy Spirit that's kind of your favorite aspect of who he has been in your life. And we went around. It was fun to hear the different aspects. I mean, the Holy Spirit's so multifaceted. One person said the discernment that he gives us. In fact, she began to elaborate. She said, I've had discernment for a long time. I just didn't know that it was the gift of discernment that came from the Holy Spirit. And as I'm studying this, I'm realizing the Holy Spirit's been giving me that gift in my life for a long time. And now I'm realizing that. So I'm thankful for his discernment. One person said how he guides me. Another one talked about how he's sensitive and sometimes almost feels like he just provides a hug in those moments, of need, of comfort. One talked about the gift of tongues, which is one of many gifts that he gives. And they talked about how, often they don't know how to pray. And so the gift of tongues, they'll pray in that language. We'll talk about that. We talked about the peace that the Holy Spirit gives. One person said, the Holy Spirit's never stopped surprising me. He says he never does things the same way. He's always surprising me. He talked about, one guy said he keeps me out of trouble. A lot of us need that, right? He convicts. He shows us where to go and where not to go. Someone said he never gives up. And another said that I love that I've never been alone. No matter where I am, no matter what's happening, I'm never alone. And as you can tell, I thanked him at the end. I said, thank you. You guys just wrote my sermon for Sunday. I appreciate that. But as you can tell, the Holy Spirit has a lot to offer. He's very multifaceted. And today I want to give my best attempt at kind of giving an overview of some of what he does. I'm not going to try to put him in a box, but these are kind of major categories of what the Holy Spirit does. So here we go. I have 10 of them. I'll move quickly. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives comfort. The Holy Spirit gives comfort. John 16:7 says, but there's a ton of scripture in this, by the way. So if you're taking notes, just flip and we'll get there. John 16:7, but very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, then I will send him to you. So there's this promise. We've been coming back to this week after week. There's this promise that Jesus said, look, I'm here in bodily form on the earth, but I'm not going to be here on earth forever. And I have to leave. I'm going to go. I'm going to be with the Father. But when I go, there's this promise. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And what I love about this is that if the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, that means he is with you in everything that you encounter, in every situation, in every place, everywhere that you are. And one of the things that he does so, so good is in our time of crisis or tragedy or sorrow or need is that he provides comfort unlike what anyone else can ever provide. In our group on Thursday night, we spent about half an hour. We just kind of separated and we were praying. And I asked them, I said, I'm going to just give you a blank piece of paper. And as you're praying, if you sense the Holy Spirit sharing something with you that would maybe be for the group, I just want you to write it down. Come put it on this table. Don't look at what anyone else is doing. And at the end, we're just going to gather them all. And we're going to see if there's kind of a cohesive message that comes out of that prayer time. And so we gathered them and I'll just tell you truthfully, I was a little bit nervous that I was going to come up and I was going to get these and it was just going to be all over the map. And I was like, what is going to happen? How am I going to pastor that moment if they don't all come together? I come up here and by the way, while I'm praying, I'm kind of walking and I'm praying and I just kept saying to myself, I'm like, man, it is so peaceful here tonight. There's a peace in this room. And I just kept thinking that. It just felt so good. good. And I walk up here and I start flipping through the papers, and one after the next identified the peace of God, the promise of the peace that was available to us. I mean, it was just like, oh, I think there's a cohesive message here. I don't have to try. I don't have to manipulate it. And it was just so interesting how all of us just heard the same thing, because one of the things he loves to do is to provide comfort, is to give you peace in your moment of trial. You know, the world talks about, you know, comfort foods. Some of us have certain foods that bring comfort to us. Or, you know, if your kids, mine still do this, they have blankies or stuffed animals that kind of soothe them, right? That bring comfort, right? But I'm just telling you today, there's nothing like the comfort of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever experienced it, right? In the middle of tragedy, there can be a peace that just settles into your heart. And yes, you're still sad, and yes, you're still grieving, and yes, you're still processing, but at the core of that, there's this peace that comes only from the Holy Spirit. There's a verse in Acts chapter 9, it says, so the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, and they were being built up, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So this is one of the things that he does in our lives, is he provides comfort in our time of need. Number two, he provides friendship. We've been saying this over and over, but the Holy Spirit is a person who desires relationship with you. He wants to be involved in the details of our lives, in the daily interactions, not just the big stuff, but also the little stuff. And he wants to be your friend. And by the way, if you're wanting to kind of study this idea of friendship with the Holy Spirit a little more, I'd highly recommend a book by Robert Morris, a pastor in Texas, called The God I Never Knew. It's a fantastic book. He talks about this journey that he goes on of really discovering how much the Holy Spirit just really wants to be our friend. He's not just, you see, I think that too often we view the Holy Spirit as a tool in our tool bag as a believer. It's like, you know, when I encounter something that's bigger than me, then out comes the Holy Spirit guns, right? When something all of a sudden it's overwhelming us, then man, I better get the Holy Spirit. He'll be there in those times, but what he really wants is he wants to be your friend. He wants to interact with you on a regular basis. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, it's the very end of this letter to the Corinthian church, and this kind of this final greeting, and it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. So what he's doing, he's kind of describing like the biggest characteristic, right, of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the love of God, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his son, right? And so it's setting this up, and he says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know, that word fellowship, it's relationship. You could replace it with relationship. May the relationship of the Holy Spirit be with you. May he commune with you and dialogue with you and be with you and interact with you. One of the things the Holy Spirit so desperately wants is just to be your friend. Number three, he wants to be your counselor. He's our counselor in our time of need, right? Maybe you've been there, the complicated situation at home or at work. You're trying to solve a problem, right? And you need an answer. And I'm telling you this morning, the best place, I mean, call a friend, do all that kind of stuff. But I would encourage you, if you'll do this, run to your prayer closet and ask the Holy Spirit. He would love to counsel you. John 14:26 says, but the advocate, which we've been talking about, this is a word that's describing the Holy Spirit, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. That word advocate, in the Greek, it's this word, it's paraclete. And what that word means is simply this, is it's a counselor or a lawyer who comes alongside of you to walk through a legal process. If you've ever been in a legal situation, you know this. It can get very complicated. It's got its own set of language and its own set of rules and it's got all this. And so often what we'll do is we'll get an advocate, right? We'll hire someone to walk along with us through that process. About 6 years ago, Lisa was in a car accident. It's the saddest thing ever. It was her birthday. We were living in Texas. And I said, hey, I'm going to keep the girls. Why don't you go to the mall that you like to go to and just spend some time by yourself? Sometimes that's the best gift to a mother with young children. Like, just get away from all of us and do whatever you want. And we'll be ready for dinner, you know, when you're done. And so she goes to the mall. She's enjoying her birthday. She gets in the car and she gets in an accident in the parking lot of the mall. So good day just got ruined. In fact, the officer that came to write the report was putting the information from her license. And he goes, oh, he looks at her, goes, it's your birthday. She's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I'm sorry. So this accident happens, and the lady, she just immediately, she's like, oh, my arm, you know, she's all wanting to sue everyone, you know, and so she sued, and so we have insurance, and the insurance, so here's what happened. The insurance assigned us an advocate, right? They assigned us someone to walk through the process, to file all the things with the court and to know what to do. And here's what we've learned in this process. We don't have a good advocate. I'm just telling you. Like, I literally called the insurance company. I'm like, can I get a new advocate? I don't think this guy knows what he's doing. I mean, it's just been really bad. I'm just telling you, it's been frustrating. It's just been bad. And I was thinking about this today with this idea that he's our counselor or our advocate, because advocates, right? If you have a bad advocate, it's not a good experience. But if you have a good advocate, right? They walk you through that process. They protect you. They give you good counsel, right? They're helping you along. And as I thought about this, I just had this thought, you know, the Holy Spirit is not just a good advocate. He's the best advocate. In fact, it says this, he teaches you all things, right? How incredible is that? What that means is if you bump into a situation and you don't know what to do, your advocate, the Holy Spirit, knows the answer and can teach you what? All things, right? Now, he's not just specialized in one area or another. He knows all things, and through that relationship, he can counsel you. And I love how it continues there in John 14. It says, he'll teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. So there's this idea that as you grow in your relationship with the Lord and you read his word and you're hiding his word into your heart, that when you bump into a situation, often what the Holy Spirit will do is he'll remind you of something that you've already read, right? He'll just all of a sudden bring a verse back into your memory that will provide counsel for that specific situation. The fourth thing I would tell you is the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. I don't know if you've ever had this situation, but I have often, is that I don't know how to pray for a particular situation. Anyone else ever been there? It's like, I know that I need to pray, but I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to put into words the right kind of a prayer. And the scripture teaches us in Romans that the Holy Spirit will actually help you to pray. Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. He actually prays in you, through you. And what Romans is describing here, this idea that he prays, you know, through us, through with these wordless groans, it's describing this one of the gifts we'll talk about in a few minutes in 2 Corinthians, but one of the gifts is the gift of tongues. And I'm just going to tell you this. I believe the gift of tongues is the most misunderstood gift of all of the gifts, and it's also the one that turns more people away. It's the one, because we don't handle it appropriately often, is that's the one that worries people. It's like, well, if I get the Holy Spirit, do I have to talk like that? Am I going to be possessed? Is that what's going to happen? And what I love here is Romans, it's just so simple. It's like, look, when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit will pray through you. He will intercede through you. And that's really all that it is. It's this amazing, wonderful gift where the Holy Spirit is able to pray on your behalf. He prays through you. And see, here's what I know. I don't know if you'll admit it or not, so I'll admit it for us, is that when we pray, we bring into it our own mindset. We bring into it our own ideas of how a situation should take place. We bring into it our own motives. I mean, you might try to pray with pure motives, right? But what we know from the scriptures, it says the heart is deceitful, right? Is that no matter how hard you're trying, at the end of the day, as you're praying, there's some motives that are interwoven into your prayers because you're human. And what I love about this idea of praying in the Spirit is it removes all of that. Is that the Spirit is now praying on your behalf. I mean, it's like the perfect prayer. He knows exactly what you need, and he's helping you to pray the right kind of a prayer over that situation. But he doesn't just help us to pray. Romans continues, number 5, he actually prays for us. So he prays through us. He helps us to pray, but he also prays for us. The next verse in Romans says, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people," watch this, "in accordance with God's will." So he's actually praying for you in accordance with the will of the Father. He's praying for you, so he knows exactly what you need. I grew up with a godly grandmother who I know prayed countless prayers for me, for which I'm so thankful. But what I love is, you know, my grandmother's no longer here to pray for me, but the Holy Spirit is. He is praying for me. I mean, in fact, I probably keep the Holy Spirit in full-time work, all right? I mean, he's praying for me, but he's praying the will of God. And I love this idea that no matter what you're doing and how you're living your life and as you're interacting and going to work and doing that, the Holy Spirit is interceding to the Father according to the will of the Father on your behalf. Number 6, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. He convicts of sin. This is actually one of the most beautiful aspects of the Holy Spirit. John 16:8 says, "When he comes," he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, "he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." So what he's saying is the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to convict. He's going to convict. And this word conviction, I think it gets a bad rap in our circles. You know, it's like we don't want to be convicted. But what it is, it goes back to that idea that someone said in our life group. He said, "The Holy Spirit keeps me out of trouble." Right? It's that conviction. It's that still small voice that says, "I don't think you should go there. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know if you should do that," or the opposite. "You should go there. You should pursue this." It's that idea that he brings conviction to help to keep us on the right path. And I love, in fact, I think we should invite the conviction of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Now, there's a big difference between conviction and condemnation, all right? And I'll just help you with this quickly. Condemnation comes from the devil, okay? Condemnation is meant to keep you where you are, to make you feel sorry for yourself and make you kind of wallow in the guilt and the sorrow and the pain. But conviction, the idea behind conviction, is actually meant to lead you to Jesus, who can pay the price and get you out of that, right? So conviction's going to, it's always, the Holy Spirit never condemns, he always convicts. It's just that check, right? That little check in your heart that says, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And I would encourage you to listen to that, because the Holy Spirit's trying to keep you out of trouble. Number 7, the Holy Spirit guides us. He guides us. John 16:13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. He doesn't speak it on his own. He only speaks what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. You already know this about me, but I love to fish, and I especially love to fish in rivers. But what sometimes I'll do if I'm going to be in a new river that I've not been to before is I'll find a guide who can help me. The advantage of a guide when I've never been to a river is that the guide knows the specifics of that area. The guide knows the nuances of that particular river. The guide knows which bugs the fish are eating and what time a year and what size and what we should do. The guy knows the honey holes, right? The guy knows, you know, don't fish that part of the river. Come down here and this is a better part. And what happens is this, is the guide can shortcut, right? Instead of me wasting time trying to figure it out the hard way, right? Now, some of us, this is how we go through life. We just learn the hard way, right? It's like and here's what I'm telling you. You don't have to learn the hard way. There is a guide who will walk you through life, who will help to shortcut, you know, some of those things so that you don't go the long way to get there. So you don't waste time and resources. The Holy Spirit wants to be your guide. In fact, one of probably my most often prayers is, Holy Spirit, guide me. Guide me. Show me where to go. Show me how to do this. Help me to understand. Help me. Just guide me. The Holy Spirit wants to be your guide. Number 8, the Holy Spirit gives you power. The Holy Spirit gives you power. I referenced this verse last week, Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I told you this last week, but as a child, I learned this verse, and I believe that meant I was going to get big muscles if I received the Holy Spirit. So I'm like, come on, I want it, right? I was a scrawny little kid, right? I'm like, come on, Holy Spirit muscles. And what I learned is that's not the kind of power that Acts is talking about. It's actually far greater. It's the power to live in this fallen world. It's the power to resist temptation. It's the power to stand up for what's right and holy. It's the power to be his witnesses here on this earth. It's a far greater power than any muscle could ever be. But I want to help you a little bit more with the power. I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was sent to this earth. You know the story. He was sent as a baby, born in a manger. He grows up, right? He grows up, he's a boy, and then he's a teenager, and then he's a man. And most of the scripture about Jesus is about his life as a man and what he does. And he's traveling around, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and he's healing, and he's raising the dead, and he's doing a supernatural, miracle after miracle, multiplying bread and fish and all kinds of stuff, walking on water. I mean, he's just doing all of this stuff. Here's what I want you to see, is that when Jesus was here on this earth, he was a man just like us. He was in a body just like us. This is part of the plan so that he could feel how we feel, so he can understand what you're going through. So here's what I want you to think of. Everything that Jesus did on this earth that was supernatural was because of the Holy Spirit operating in his life. In other words, it's not just that he was the Son of God, okay? Because when he came down to earth, something changed. He was sent to walk this earth as a human being. But all the supernatural things that happened because of the Spirit of God living inside of him. Luke chapter 4 says Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So here we see Jesus and the Spirit, right? I mean, so again, I know some people, it's just like, this is the hang up. It's like, I know God, the Father, and the Son. It's the Holy Spirit that I just can't get. So here's Jesus operating in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, there's a story where Jesus takes one of the scrolls and he unrolls it and he reads this prophecy that can actually be found earlier in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. And what happens is such a powerful passage because Jesus is prophesying. He's using this prophecy to kind of declare what is about to happen, that Jesus is now stepping into this prophecy. And the prophecy is this: the Spirit of the Lord is on me. So Jesus, can you imagine this? He unrolls the scroll, and this is his words: the Spirit of the Lord is on me. In other words, he's making this declaration, right? That he is about to invoke the power of the Holy Spirit in his life to do the following. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the favor of the Lord. It's powerful. Jesus is stepping into this calling. He's stepping in, but he's saying, look, if I'm going to proclaim the good news, if I'm going to release the captive, if I'm going to heal the blind, it's the Spirit of God that's inside of me that is going to provide that power. It's going to provide that power. Acts chapter 10 says this: you know what's happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. There it is again. I'm just telling you. So here's my question, or maybe it's a statement. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, do we need the Holy Spirit? If the Son of God walking this earth, if everything he did on this earth was because of the Holy Spirit living inside of him, then I think we need the Holy Spirit as well. Lisa, for the longest time, I don't know if this happens in your home or not, but for the longest time, she would have a hard time charging her phone. Anyone else relate to that? Either for you or for, you can point, that's okay, you can point at the person who does this. And it feels good, right? Just out them right now. And you know, I'd call, and it would go straight to voicemail. And I'm like, why do we have telephones? Like, I don't understand, right? And we would talk about it, and she would forget, or like she would fall asleep at night, and she'd be on her phone, and she'd fall asleep, and so she wouldn't plug it in. And so we got the iPhone 10s, and then she was doing some research, and she realized that with the 10, they sell a little charging pad, so you don't have to plug it in. You can just set it on the pad. And I was out of town one day, and she called me, and she's like, Jason, they have the pad. You don't even have to plug it in. I'm like, I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, just like, you know, okay. She's like, no, this is great news. I will charge my phone if I have the pad. I'm like, then buy the pad, you know? So he buys the pad. And I'm just telling you, from then on, like, it's been a game changer in our house. Like, her phone is charged far more often than it ever was. Now, notice I didn't say always. Far more often than it ever was, right? It's, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but for her, it was like that's what she needed. It was like, I'm just going to put the phone on the, this was too hard, this is easy, you know? But it made me wonder, as we're talking about the power, Acts 1:8, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on. It makes me wonder, because what good is a new phone without power? Right? The phone has all these apps and all this stuff available and all these things that you can do on it. I was talking to someone between service, and they said, man, I dropped my phone yesterday and it's screen shattered and it's broken. And this person's new to the area. She's like, I didn't know how I was going to get around. She goes, I didn't realize how much I used my phone until it was broken. Like, I didn't know how to get anywhere. It's like I literally opened a map and put it in the car, the seat of the car on my computer, and I'm following a map like a, you know, like old school, right? But it's, this is the idea: is our phones, there's so much available, but they're worth nothing if they don't have power, right? And I just wonder how many Christians are living life without power. How many Christians are just kind of fumbling through life and there's so much more available, but we're doing so without power, right? In fact, I'll speak to this for just a moment, and this is going to be a place where we're gonna pray. So I just want to get this in your heart, okay? We charge our phones regularly, right? We charge things that if it takes power, we get in the habit, right, of plugging them in to refresh the power. Because here's what we know with a watch or a phone or a drill is that the power source has a lifetime, right? It has a supply. And when it's out, you've got to recharge it. And here's what I'm trying to say to you, especially to believers who you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit before, is that you need to often be recharged with the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'll just say it this way. You need to be recharged more than every 7 days. Oh, you get it? More than just on Sundays. I hope that Sundays are a place of recharge. I hope that you're encouraged and inspired. I hope that, but listen, if you find yourself running out of power in the middle of the week, then find you a pad to get on to recharge. Are you following me? Don't live a life without power. Number nine, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. He gives us gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 starts like this. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, I do not want you to be uninformed. About the gifts of the Spirit, I do not want... Harvest, about the gifts of the Spirit, I do not want you to be uninformed. Here's the good news. There are a lot of gifts that the Holy Spirit has that are available to you and I. And here's the good news about gifts is because it's a gift, it's not contingent upon you and your ability because it's a gift. He gives it to you. The Holy Spirit gives it to you. It's a gift. And there's a lot of gifts. One of the lists of the gifts is further in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 11. It says, to one there is given, because it's a gift, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. So this is what we refer to as the gift of wisdom. Okay, the gift. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. To another, there's a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. There can be a supernatural gift of faith that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miracles or miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. That's what we would call the gift of discernment, the ability to discern between what's right or wrong, what's from God, or what's been planted there as a decoy from the enemy. Right? To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. So I'll just point out that that's there in the Scripture as a gift that's given by God, which means this, you should not be afraid of it because it is a gift that is given by the Spirit of God. And still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And watch this, He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So in other words, here's what you need to know. You, with the Holy Spirit inside of you, are able to operate in any and all of the gifts. Depending on the situation that you're in and what's happening, and if you're available, if you're willing, the Holy Spirit will allow you to operate in any of the gifts because the gifts aren't even about you. They're not about your natural talents. They're not about your natural abilities. They're about the supernatural gift that is given by the Holy Spirit for that time. In fact, I'll define it this way. A gift of the Spirit is a supernatural ability that God gives to every Christian so that together we can advance the mission, God's mission here in this world. So the gifts aren't self-promoting, they're not self-serving, they're not about us, they're a gift that's given by the Spirit that's supernatural so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. And then number 10, the Holy Spirit gives confidence and strength. Confidence and strength. And the worship team can come and help me. 1 John chapter 4 says some good news. It says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The Holy Spirit gives you confidence and strength to live in this world, a boldness, right? To be His witness, a courage to do what's right in the face of being, you know, teased or called out. He gives you strength. And church, here's what you need to know in case you don't know it. The world that we live in is not, it's not spiritually neutral, okay? It's not neutral, and you're just kind of going through life. The world that we live in is a spiritually charged environment. Every day you're running into things, you're bumping. There is a spiritual battle that is going on right now for you and your family, your children, your grandchildren, your workplace, your home. There's a spiritual battle because the enemy is on a mission because he does not want you to be surrendered to Christ. And here's what I'm telling you, is you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 19, there's this story, and there's these guys who are going around. And they've seen Jesus do this, and they've seen Paul do this, and so they're going around. They're seven sons of a guy named Sceva, who's a Jewish priest. And these guys are going around, and they're doing this. They're using the name of Jesus to try to drive out evil spirits. And they come to this one guy, and they're like, in the name of Jesus, get out, you know, evil spirit. In the authority of Jesus, come, get out of there. And the spirit through this individual answers back and says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Can you imagine that? Like, I'd be scared. I'd run fast. What he's saying is, I don't recognize a power inside of you that is big enough to deal with me. That's what he's saying. I love the Bible because it's just so fun. You read the story, and what happens next is this guy full of evil spirits single-handedly pounces on all seven of these sons of Sceva, and he beats them to a pulp. And it actually says that they took such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. I don't know what kind of a beatdown, I mean, leaves you naked, but it's bad. I'm just telling you, okay? And these guys go running out of there, right? Because listen, they thought they knew, right? They were using the name of Jesus. They were doing, in other words, they were doing good things, right? In the name of good, right? They were doing the good. But they were missing the Spirit of God living inside of them, right? Because you remember the verse, 1 John, right? You've overcome because the one who is in you, the Spirit of God in you is greater than the spirit that is in this world. So here's what I know. You and I need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. This Jesus, He promised it. He said, look, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you an advocate, a counselor, a helper, a guide, a comforter. I'm going to send Him to you. And I just wonder why so many Christians are living this life without the Spirit of God living inside of them to provide all of that. I'm trying to tell you all the things He does, right? It's too much to tell you, but I tried. And so here's my question for you. Here's how we're going to respond. Is I just wonder how many Christians are just living a powerless life. I mean, we're getting by. You're going to church. You're doing good things, but you're lacking something. You're lacking the power. And what I want to do is I want to provide just a moment to charge, right? when I would come into to the room at night, and Lisa, she'd fall asleep, and her phone would be, you know, laying there on her, and I'd sneak in there as quiet as I could, and try to get it without waking her up to go and to plug it in, right? Because what I wanted is I wanted her phone to be charged, right, full, and that's what I want to do this morning. I'm giving you a place to plug in, right? If that's too hard, I've got pads. You can just lay on them. I'm teasing. I'm going to give you a place to recharge. Why don't you stand with me? You've been sitting too long. How many of you, we're not going to even bow heads, how many of you would just say, there's an aspect of the Holy Spirit that we talked about today that I need in my life? Any of them? You say, I'm realizing I need the Holy Spirit. Comfort, guide, conviction, whatever it is. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. And does anyone identify with this? You just said, I'm realizing I'm lacking some power. So two things. Maybe you never asked for the Holy Spirit, or maybe you're just, the charge has gone down and you haven't recharged. Anyone? You say, I know I need that. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the gifts of the Spirit. I need all, and I don't know why I haven't recharged, but I haven't. That's where I really, really feel led to pray today. It's for you to be recharged. So I'm gonna ask the worship team to lead. We sang this song earlier, Spirit Break Out. And what we're gonna sing is break down the walls, right? So let me just help you, okay? Some of you have put your own walls up. And so you can't sing this sincerely, because then you'd be asking him to bring down the walls that you put up. So go ahead and bring your walls down. Your apprehensions, your fears, your control, right? And this is all I'm asking you. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Invite the Holy Spirit. I mean, here's the deal. It's a promise from God. And I just showed you all these things that he does for us. They're amazing things. But he can't do it unless you invite him to come and to live in your life. So we're going to worship. And if you want, I don't know if you'll want this or not, but if you want, just feel free. You can come. You don't have to. But we're just take a couple of minutes. The altars are open. If you feel like you need to move, then you can move. And we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit into this place for just a few moments. And let's see what he can do in our lives. Let's worship. I hate when people use this phrase, but I'm going to use it. Can I be honest with you? Because that implies that everything else I already said might not have been, right? But can I be honest with you? Like, I'm asking you. Can I be honest with you? Okay. Thought maybe you didn't want me to be. It's really easy for a church to just show up and do its thing and check the box and feel good about. I mean, we're doing a lot of good stuff, but we're far from operating in the power that God dreams for us. And I don't want to just play church. I don't want to just show up and do the thing. So I'm inviting you on a journey to really walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. You guys know I do a lot of missions work, and like every foreign country I go to, I see more miracles than I see here. I don't think God's power is greater in another country than it is here. I just think they're more open to it than we are often. So this whole idea of walking in the Holy Spirit, I realize has, I know it's got its risks and the baggage associated with it, but I want to go wherever the Spirit of God wants us to go. Are you with me on that? Holy Spirit, have your way in our church. We've walked in a limited amount of your power, and we want it all. So God, we repent for holding back. We repent for not going all in. And we invite you into our lives, into our church, and into our city. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way. Whatever you have for us, we'll take it. All the gifts, not just a few of them, but all of them. We want them. We want everything you have available for us. And God, today I pray for those who just need a refreshing, a recharge of their spirits. Holy Spirit, right now, will you fill us up? Holy Spirit, will you come right now? Just fill us. Fill us to overflowing today. Fill us with the Spirit right now. We need your Holy Spirit in this world. We need your Holy Spirit in our marriages. We need your Holy Spirit in our homes and our families. We need your Holy Spirit in our work. We need your Holy Spirit today. And so we're asking today. We plug ourselves in to the source, and we ask for your power, for your confidence, for your strength, for your guidance, for your comfort today. We ask for that. We ask for the gifts. We ask for the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge and the gift of tongues and the gift of miracles and the gift of faith. We ask for the gift. We ask you ask you today, pour out your Spirit. You said that you'd pour out your Spirit on your sons and your daughters, on the old and the young, on the men and the women. We ask you today, Holy Spirit, to come into our lives. And God, I pray for breakthrough today. I pray for breakthrough. I pray for those who have just been bumping against the same thing time and time again. And today, your Holy Spirit is the power to break through. Your Holy Spirit is the power to change. Your Holy Spirit is the power to set free, to put us on a new course. We just invite you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, into our lives. Fill us. Fill us today. Fill us today. In the name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. Harvest, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, in the power of the Holy Spirit, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.